Hi, I'm Miss Marcy.
And you are listening to Conversations with Miss Marcy podcast. If you are looking for watered down conversations, this might not be the podcast for you. I'm just saying.
Welcome to another episode.
Today, I am actually with the guest, Mr. Daryl Fletcher. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Marcy. How you doing today?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. So, basically, we're going to be talking about just relationships and marriage and things that relate to that. And you basically call yourself the rock star relationship coach.
Indeed, I am. I'm the rock star relationship coach, giving people the opportunity to increase their potential in their life with their relationships. And I have a holistic approach with relationships, just giving people the inside and the outside of relationship. What is it going to take to have that relationship that you've always been looking for? I'm the author of a book called Disgustingly Beautiful, The Good, Bad, and Ugly of Couples, in which people always say that they want a beautiful relationship. They always want to say, I want to have a relationship with this or a relationship with that, or what's popular now is hashtag relationship goals. And the thing about it is, you know, we see these things all over social media, we see them all over the internet. And so I wrote a book called Disgustingly Beautiful, The Good, Bad, and Ugly of Couples. And it's centered around, you'll see an older couple, and, you know, they're all in love, they're all wrapped up into each other, and it's a beautiful thing. But after you hang around with them a little bit, it starts to get disgusting because, it's, you know, they're very mushy and it's very, you know, just really lovey-dovey. So it's just one of those things where, you know, everybody wants it, but they don't always know how to attain it. Mm-hmm. And so in the book, we actually give some technical and some strategies on how to have that loving relationship. And we approach it through a holistic approach of, if you're single, whether you're dating, or whether you're in a relationship, or whether you even are married, and how do I attain that hashtag relationship goal that I've always wanted to go after.
That sounds interesting. And you know what, like what you just said about people don't know how to attain it, I also think people don't want to put in the work a lot of times. Yes.
That's exactly true. It is going to require some work. There's a chapter in my book where I talk about that relationships are not a fantasy. Because, you see, when we're conditioned to think that, think about, you know, a fairy tale that you think of. Let's say Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, or maybe Cinderella. When they leave that story alone, or when they, you know, end the story, they always say, and they live happily ever after. You know, once he put the shoe on her foot, the comment is, they live happily ever after. And people want that happily ever after.
Right.
It doesn't really exist. And it does exist. However, they don't talk about the Prince Charming lose the crown, and now you got to go get a regular job, and all the different things that come up in life. Or did Cinderella gain a little weight after she started having babies? Or you know, all these different things that are real life, and that really people don't really pay attention to. So in the book, we approach these things of, what are the practical approaches? What are the practical things that we need to pay attention to as an individual, as a couple, as a married couple, that in order to make sure that our relationship stays intact, make sure that our relationship is that hashtag relationship goal that we've been looking for or wanting all our life. You know, quick side note, I had a young lady read my book not too long ago, maybe about early on in this year, and she said, man, I've been reading so many relationship books, and I wanted, you know, I read yours. I was, you know, a guest on her radio show, and she said, I read yours, and then I just saw this past Christmas she got engaged.
Wow.
We've had a number of people, a young lady. I went on a trip as a relationship coach. I took a group of people to Haiti, and we talk a lot about the self-denial, being more focused on other people's needs versus your needs, because in order to make a relationship work, that's a lot of times what it does. And so this particular young lady, she went on this trip back in 2017. She just got married back in June. And so we've had some great success stories of where people have had an opportunity to take what they learned from the book, begin to implement into their life, and really begin to make progress if they're single, if they're married, if they're dating, to just really get an opportunity to say, you know what, I've been doing this a little bit wrong. I need to make some adjustments. The first chapter of the book is called You're the Plan I Never Thought Of. And the reason why we named that chapter that is because typically people have a list. They have a wish list. When they're single, they say, you know, I want them to be this tall. I want them to be this size. I want him to make this amount of money. I want him to do, they have all these different preconcepted ideas about what they want to do when they're going into a relationship. But many times, you know, we have this list, and this list is based upon our desires.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with our desires. But what lasts longer than your desires is your values. So rather than pursuing a mate based upon your desires that can be temporary or that can change, what about your value system? Do you have a value system? And when you're going out looking for a person, or you're going and positioning yourself to be in a relationship, what are the values that you want to be able to have at the forefront so that relationship can last? Because guess what? How fine they are is not that important.
Right.
When you're sick.
Right.
You know, how tall they are, what skin tone they have is not important when, you know, you need some money in the bank. It's a person's value system that, you know, they will hold your hand when you get sick. It's a person's value system that will be able to stick it out when you fall on tough financial times. That's what it's about. And so if we rearrange our priorities and rearrange the order of what we think or find important, then that's how we begin to approach relationships. And if we have a good foundation, just like a house, then the rest of the structure can be built very well.
I agree with that. And, you know, I always try to tell myself, I try to stay away from fantasizing about the marriage and things like that. Don't get me wrong. I may have my ideal type of person, but I try to not fantasize about it so much, because what happens is when you actually do get into a relationship or a marriage, I feel like you said, things in real life do come up. And what happens is when you spend time fantasizing and romanticizing the idea of what you think a marriage is and what it should be like, when you finally get into it, it's out of that box. So then you're ready to go get a divorce because you're like, oh no, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, but the thing about it is that is exactly what you signed up for, because if you view marriage as an internal, external, and eternal covenant, then that's what it's really about.
Right.
And when I said internal, what's going on with inside of you? External, what's going on with inside that two-way connection, and eternal, that we made this a commitment for death to us part. So many people, one of the things that we teach, you know, as a relationship coach, I come across men and women who have issues with commitment. And because they have issues with commitment, they really don't know how to be in a committed relationship. You start dating at 15, let's say. You start dating at 16, right? And, you know, statistically, at the age of 16, the average relationship lasts anywhere from 6 months to a year. So if we do the math, that's two people every year. And let's say you date somebody, or you do this until you're 25. That's 20 people who have come in and out of your life over the last 10 years. Now you're at the age where you say, hey, I want to get married. Then you meet somebody, you guys hit it off. All right, great. He proposed, or he, you know, she said yes, whatever the case may be. But where have you established commitment? Where have you had an extended time to be committed to just one person and have an opportunity to be in that relationship where it was fruitful? You don't have a track record. And so one of the things that we teach and we talk about is you cannot perform when you have not practiced. And so it's important that you are able to practice commitments, that you are able to be in a level of where it is just really about, you know, what you are going after. And so we have one of the exercises that we do in our coaching process is where we have people who are having challenges with commitment is we have them volunteer at an elderly shelter for about a year. Because when you volunteer at an elderly shelter, it's really about that person. You're making the commitment to be with that particular person day in or day out or week in, week out. Pick a day that you can be committed to that person and to stay faithful to that particular task. Because a lot of times in a relationship, you know, we have our ups and we have our downs. And then as soon as we have our downs, our commitment goes right out the door.
That's right. That's right. That's why I was saying that. I try not to fantasize about it, because when you fantasize about it, your fantasy is your fantasy. So you're going to put into it what you think it should be. And that's not reality.
Exactly. Exactly.
So what are the most common issues in relationships today?
The most common issue that we see in relationships is the inability to communicate. Mm. Communication is what we consider the oil. The same thing that oil is to a car, communication is to a relationship. You know, when you put your oil in your car, many times what happens is it allows the engine to run smoothly. Now, you may have an issue with the tire, but your engine will still work. You may have an issue, you may have some body damage, but your engine will still work. And so many times, you know, within a relationship, one of the biggest challenges that we see is that people really don't know how to communicate. The couple that I've been working with for the last couple of months, and they've been together for about 2 years, and some things have come up in a relationship. No, actually, I'm sorry, they've been getting together for a little bit more than 2 years. They've been together maybe like 3 or 4 years. And some issues came up in a relationship that they had not talked about. And so my question to you guys was, what have you guys been doing for the last 4 years? You haven't been talking. You've been talking superficially. You've been going out. You've been watching movies. You've been eating. But we haven't gotten an opportunity to really connect and communicate from that place where we can now establish a great foundation. So one of the major key problems that we see in most relationships is the inability to communicate. And then I would also piggyback off of something that you said is one of the other issues that we see is many times people just fantasize the realization of a relationship. They have so much fantasy going on that when reality hits them, they do not know how to respond.
Right.
And here's the thing. They have not communicated that fantasy. No one has talked about what it looks like to them to say, well, I didn't know that you wanted 4 kids, or I didn't know you had situations from 2 years ago that are now are affecting our relationship. So because of the fantasy was there, now people in reality hit them. They are at this place where they don't know how to deal. And then the last thing that I would say that is really facing a lot of couples is unrealistic expectations.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When we have these unrealistic expectations, we're putting people, I was just reading a story actually today where this young lady, she got scammed out of $50,000 from this guy, you know, and they were dating for 2 years, come to find out he was a con artist. He got another woman on the other side of town. You know, all these different other things. And the reason why she got scammed was she was falling in love with the idea of who she thought he was rather than the reality of who he actually was.
Wow.
So she didn't. One of the things that we teach in my book is how to ask the right questions when you're dealing with someone, how to ask open-ended questions that create dialogue rather than just saying yes or no questions, that it puts us in a position of, oh, he likes everything I like. Does he really? Or did you just position him in your mind to think that that's what it really was?
Right.
You have to be able to learn how to ask those open-ended questions that will get you the information that you're looking for and also put you in a position to learn more about this particular person. And if I can be quite honest, too, a lot of times we rush the physical part of the relationship too quickly. We get intimate with people and really don't know anything about them. Mm-hmm. Oh, she was fine. She looked good in them jeans. Or, girl, he had a six-pack, and I love a man with a six-pack. And next thing you know, you're sleeping with somebody. But at the end of the day, you know, you don't really know this guy. Mm-hmm. You really know this person. But you have allowed your emotions to make decisions that your body was not ready for. Your body was ready for it, but now mentally you don't even know what you've gotten yourself into.
Yeah.
So there's no need to rush the physical. Sex is not going anywhere. But in actuality, when there is a deeper connection between two people that are in covenant with one another, it's a better intimate experience rather than just trying to, I thought he was the one. What made him the one? Nothing made him the one. He said a couple of jokes. He bought you some drinks. You had a good night. And now you back at his place. You slow that process down. Like I said, it's not going anywhere. And if you want to, you know, have anything worth of a relationship, you know, make that to be the last component on your list as far as your relationship is concerned.
Right. Now, but when it comes to the physical aspect, this day and age, it seems like it's a little bit different, because I actually know a few people who said that they did wait to have sex with a person and it still turned out to be not a good situation. Like, they still just didn't work out.
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is, yes, you're waiting not to have sex. But it goes right back to my first challenge.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about? What are you communicating?
Right.
And then, you know, and if I can add a fourth issue that we commonly see in my coaching practice is unresolved childhood issues.
Oh, yeah. I see a lot of people with that.
Yeah, it's a major issue where now you're blaming you know, everything that has happened to you through your childhood, you're putting all that particular pressure on that person. And so therefore, and they didn't even know you had those issues.
Right.
But now they have arisen, and now we don't even know how to handle it. But if we know how to communicate, then we can work through those issues.
Now, do you think that the older that people get, the harder relationships are?
Yes, the more challenging relationships become, mm-hmm. because people are less apt to change.
Right, and I think not to cut you off, but I think too that one of the reasons why it does seem more challenging as we get older is because, like you said, people have things that start to arise in them that maybe when they were younger they didn't really think about or really didn't bother them, but now that they're older, they're dealing with baggage from childhood, or they're dealing with baggage from a previous relationship. You know, people have been married and divorced at this point in life. People have even lost children and things like that. So people have gone through a lot. So I think that it makes it harder to try to establish something with someone at this point, you know, at an older age.
It doesn't have to be, though. If a person, we have to learn how to use our words rather than using our actions. And let me tell you what I mean by that.
Okay.
It's important that, you know, when you're dealing with issues, important case, you take a gentleman that, you know, went through a bad breakup. One of the first things that he's going to do is he's going to go try to get another woman and sleep with that particular
right.
woman rather than addressing the hurt that he's actually facing. So all he's doing is putting more junk on top of more junk on top of more junk on top of more junk. He's creating an even bigger issue that's going to come down the line and later end up hurting them even more. So at the end of the day, if we learn how to use our words and say, you know what, you hurt me, or she hurt me, or I'm hurt from this, now we have the opportunity to really address what's going on, because our words are only an indication of what's happening to us emotionally.
Right.
And but many times people don't know how to use their words, so they use their actions, and you know what's really going on is, yeah, I'm hurting, or this particular person hurt me, but I'm not going to talk about it.
And I want to piggyback off what you said about, you know, one of the ways people try to get over a person is they go out and get another person. I think, too, one of the reasons why communication is an issue, especially on the man's part, is because from little young men, especially black men, they're taught to go out here and fuck as many women as they can. And they are considered the man, or they're considered cool. You know what I'm saying? And I think instead of questions that they may have about relationships or women or just in life in general, they're not being answered. They're being taught to go out here and smash.
Yeah, it was very Jay-Z talked about it in his 444 album, where, you know, what have we been conditioned to think is manhood is not really manhood. And so we have been conditioned to conquest and go after this woman, or, you know, smash this woman and all this other type of stuff, when that's really what it's not all about. And so if you're miseducated, then everything that you thought was right is actually wrong. And what happens is, because you've been miseducated, Marcus Garvey said it this way. Marcus Garvey said that it is easier to train a boy than it is to heal a man.
That's right.
And so we have to be able to train our young men how to treat young ladies. And once we get to a certain age, we have to really begin to understand and dive in deep and say, guess what? This, what you were taught, was wrong. It is so hard to unlearn useless information.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that regard, people would rather believe the truth. I mean, believe a lie than learn the truth.
Right.
So, you know, one of the things that we try to do within our coaching is just really help people dive deep into some of the recesses of their childhood. So because some of those things, we have to unpack that. And as we unpack it, now we can begin to really unlearn those things and show people how those things have not served them well.
Right. And that's funny that you mentioned that, too, because I always say, when you want to figure out some things about yourself as a person, go back to your childhood. A lot of times the answer is there.
Yep, that's exactly where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are stuck at the level of their hurt, or the level of the when they last felt most loved.
Right, right.
Let's take a quick break.
Now, it's interesting you said that communication, lack of communication, is one of the most common issues in relationships. So a lot of people would think that it would be cheating.
Well, cheating is a byproduct of a bigger issue. Here's the thing. If you got leaves in your yard, the leaves are not the problem. The tree is the problem.
Right.
So you can rake up leaves all day, but if you never cut down a tree, you're still going to have the leaves. So we can talk about cheating all day, but the bigger issue is cheating typically stems from an unresolved issue,
mm-hmm.
from childhood, inability to communicate and really say what you need, or really say what's going on within internally with yourself. And so that's all it is, because I am a former cheater. And so as a former cheater, my issues, I could blame my issues on, oh, she wasn't doing this, she wasn't doing that. No, what was really going on is that I was feeling inadequate, and I had abandonment issues that I never really talked about and I never really addressed. And so if I'm unable to communicate about those abandonment issues, I'm only going to mask those in action. Once again, using my actions rather than using my words. So go out and, you know, suppress that particular feeling that I'm going through, and then actually have an opportunity to suppress that particular what I'm feeling about.
Right.
So I didn't talk to anybody about it, but I can go out and get another woman. That's easy.
Right.
Because that, now I can mask the bigger issue at hand. So if I'm masking the bigger issue at hand, then guess what? Then now I'm feeling. "Quote unquote," better about myself because I was able to have a conquest. So cheating is not Cheating is an issue, but cheating is actually a byproduct of a bigger challenge that we face.
Okay. So speaking of cheating, why do people cheat?
In my opinion, people cheat because they are masking pain from another area of their life. Point in case, you take a person that has cheated or has habitually cheated, then what is really happening is they are not able to communicate what's going on the inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I just lost my job. So, or hey, you know, I just got a demotion. Or hey, I didn't get that account. So they want to secretly feel better about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go out, well, what's going to make them feel better about themselves? Because if I go to my partner, then if all we do is fuss and fight, then guess what? That doesn't seem like a person that I'm going to want to. But I can go tell lies. I can go run games. I can go do all these things to a person that doesn't know me. And now I'm painting a picture to that particular person in order to feel better about myself. And then many times other people cheat because they don't feel like they're getting the attention that they want in another relationship. But cheating, it once again, is a byproduct of a bigger issue.
Right.
So if you feel that you need attention, then have you communicated what's going on the inside with your particular relationship?
Right.
So, like I said, cheating is like having leaves and saying, well, these leaves keep on falling. But you never cut down a tree.
So you don't think that stuff like social media plays a big part in it?
No, and the reason why is because social media is an inanimate vehicle.
Mm.
And what it does, all social media does, is expose more of who a person is internally. So if you are a cheater without social media, then guess what? Social media is just going to give you an opportunity to be a big cheater.
Right. It gives you the platform. Because I'm going to tell you, I've seen guys where they just got engaged. Like this one guy, I saw he just got engaged to his girlfriend and he was like in my inbox maybe like 2 weeks later. I mean, stuff like that goes on, and it's crazy.
It's not. It has nothing to do with social media. Social media just provided them an atmosphere. And the thing about it is, because social media is on everybody's phone, on everybody's computer, it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. If it wasn't social, people have been cheating before social media.
Right.
So if it wasn't social media, he would have found another way to, you know, have inappropriate conversations or or seek out some form of attention. So it has nothing to do with social media. It has to do with the intent of a person's heart.
Mm, okay. Now, speaking of, I'm kind of going back to the communication piece a little bit here.
Sure.
And are you familiar with the term ghosting?
Where people fade to black and don't talk to each other.
Right. After things seemingly are going good or whatever, you don't have to have a fallout or nothing, but you just boom, disappear.
Yeah.
So why do you think that's become so common?
Because, once again, I don't want to talk about what's really going on. I don't want to communicate what's really going on with me, so it's easier just to fade to black. And once again, you are talking to an individual that used to do those same types of things. I used to ghost women. I used to call it the home reception, where I would fade in the bushes and you wouldn't hear from me, rather because I really didn't want to have the conversation of, I don't like you.
Mm.
It's easier for me to fade to black than say, to just say, you're just not my type. It's easier to ghost somebody rather than saying, you just ain't my type, boo. I'm sorry, it ain't gonna work. Now, I was very precautious of who I entertain with myself physically. My cheating was not the cheating of the conquest of wanting to sleep with someone, because I view sex as important and intimate. But I would entertain women that I had no business entertaining.
Right.
So I was cheating in the aspect of entertaining and occupying a person's mind, occupying, you know, their heart, getting their emotions all into me. But it was really, for me, it was more of a game rather than, you know, wanting to sleep with somebody, because my goal was not to sleep with you. My goal was to make you fall in love with me.
Mm. So and your goal was to get them emotionally.
Yeah, because if I made you fall in love with me, then if I ever needed something from you, it was never about me having sex with you. It was about what I needed from you.
Oh, wow. Ooh. So you was a dog.
I guess you could call it that. But I didn't consider myself a dog because I wasn't trying to have sex with the women. I'm not saying, you know, that I went around manipulating women or stealing from women or things like that. It was a situation of, you know, I've been stranded somewhere. Let's say my car broke down. I would call five dudes. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. It's five dudes that, hey, man, I'm stranded, or they don't answer their phone. Meanwhile, I call maybe two women, and one is putting their clothes on, and one of them is on the way.
Right.
Because I know that they care for me.
Right. Right. And I think emotional cheating is actually the worst form of cheating.
It is. Because, you know, if we just have sex, then we did the deed, and people can go about their business. But emotional cheating is much worse, because you, once again, you get the person all wrapped up into you, and then there's nothing at the end.
Right. Now, when it comes to ghosting, I will say that I think that it depends on how long you and a person have been in contact, to where I would say that it's okay. So, for instance, let's say if you and I went on a date, let's say we went on a date tomorrow, and it's our first date, and after that date, you decide, or I decide, I'm not feeling him, or you decide, I'm not feeling her, and you decide to stop taking my calls, or I decide to stop taking your calls, or whatever, and just stop communicating. I think that's okay, because we have not established a rapport at this point, not really. But I feel like when you get to a point of being in contact with a person for a month or so, because, you know, after 21 days, it becomes a habit anyway. So after we have been talking and texting, or maybe spending time together physically, or maybe, let's say maybe we had sex, maybe we didn't have sex, but we've been in contact with each other for a month or longer, I feel like at that point, ghosting it should not be acceptable. I feel like at that point, that's when two people should have a conversation if they decide that this is not going anywhere. Because at that point, you have established a rapport with a person, and I just don't think it's cool to just fall off.
I would agree with you. And the thing about it is, it depends on what each person deems as valuable.
Right.
And what I mean by that is, because you're talking 21 days, and just because we've known each other for 21 days does not mean that we have maybe even spent valuable time. So maybe 21 days is valuable to you, but out of those 21 days, we've actually only seen each other 7.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
So it doesn't always, that's why I tell people to be careful of putting timetables on things, because, you know, well, we've been talking for 7 days, we've been talking for 6 months, but within those 6 months, you probably only seen each other 7 or 8 times.
Yeah, it's all about your level of involvement.
So what has been the level of emotional investment? And many times, you know, unfortunately, women will get themselves involved emotionally with a person mentally way before, you know, it's actually taking place in a man's mind. Because what's happened is she is envisioning, how old are you?
I'm 39.
At 39 years old, did you play with Barbies?
When I was a kid, yes.
Okay. When you were a kid, you played with Barbie. Did you play house and have a tea set and all that type
yes,
of stuff?
Yes.
Okay. So you're of the age and a generation where, you know, those things for women were important.
Right.
See, you have been envisioning a relationship and been conditioned for a relationship your whole life. Meanwhile, you take that same 39-year-old man, and or let's put him a few years older, a couple years younger. You take that same person within that age, in that time frame. You know what he was doing when he was 5 years old? He was playing football. He was racing cars. He was running around. He was doing a whole bunch of tricks and all this other type of stuff. He has not been conditioned for marriage. Only thing he's been conditioned is to play sports and play games. And so, meanwhile, you have already, when you're going on dates, you're envisioning reliving that childhood experience of playing with Barbie dolls, playing house, being a mommy, having your wedding day. He has no history of that for him mentally, because all he's done is played games. He's played with cars, played with his little toys, and all they do is fight. He played PlayStation, or he played his little games, whatever. And so now, we sit here and we wonder, well, why is it so hard for men and women to get along? Why? Because we have been conditioned differently all our life.
Mm.
And because we've been conditioned differently, our desires are different.
Right.
Our hopes. See, you're working on a biological clock. He's working on a financial clock.
But why does it seem like it's only like this in with the African American community? Because
it's not. I work with white, black, Spanish. It's all the same. However, if you look at high school, the NCAA, the professional sports, who dominate those arenas? African-Americans,
right.
African-Americans dominate the NFL, the NBA, the NCAA. But the thing about it is, we also have another thing that is a strike against us. African-Americans are the only, I am two generations away from slavery. I'm 42 years old. My grandfather, his father, was a slave. That means that the effects of slavery
is still there.
Is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do I mean? Black men were bred to have sex with as many women as they possibly could.
Yep.
In order to have more slaves. They weren't taught commitment. They weren't taught love. They were taught have sex with this one, have sex with this one, have sex with this one. Why? Because they wanted more slaves. So there are things within our DNA. There are things within our mental capacity that if my grandfather was not a upstanding man, that I could have possibly been passed down to and gotten some of those things. So at the end of the day, we have to be able to take, once again, unpack all those things of our history,
mm-hmm.
from childhood to adolescence to, you know, adulthood, because if we don't address them, they're going to come back to haunt us.
Right. And I mean, I know other cultures have their issues too, but I do notice it does seem like that African Americans, we're notorious for having, you know, men with multiple children with multiple women, and, you know, baby mama, baby daddy, where it seemed like other cultures, they meet, they get together, they like each other, they get married. There's more of a goal. You know what I'm saying? There's more of a family-orientated goal set in place.
It is, but at the same time, it's just marginal levels.
Mm-hmm.
Of the fact that, you know, that's what is exploited and talked about even more.
Right.
You know, there are black men and men in the African American community whose goal is to be married and things, but it's just not talked about as much.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And I'm not saying it's not there at all, but it just seems like it is more of the other way, like I was saying. But yeah, I know it's there though. Because there are a lot of black men who do have a goal of getting married and just being with one woman and things like that. So
yep.
Now you are also the creator of the Love Logistics Circle. So what's that about?
The Love Logistics Circle is a unique platform online where people can get some of the same teaching that we're talking about today. It's an atmosphere where a person can learn and grow about themselves, and you know, just you know, learning more about having you know the key components of relationships. So it's for persons who are single, persons who are dating, persons who are married, just giving them the tools that they need in order to have that relationship that they've always wanted. But the thing, once again, you know, you say you want it, but how do you get it? So we give them the tools in order to position themselves to get that love that they deserve and they desire.
Okay. Sounds pretty interesting.
Yep, lovelogisticscircle.com. Like I said, it's a unique platform where a person will have the opportunity to just learn great tools and resources. And we just don't only share our resources. We share also resources from other coaches and other people within the relationship circles, but they have an opportunity to grow.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you this about divorce. What do you feel like is the, let me say it like this. Do you feel like the healing time of a divorce depends on the individual?
Yes. I would say, because once again, you could be divorced for 2 years, but have you done any work? Or you could be divorced for 6 months and done a whole lot of work. So it's what divorce is about. It's about the work that you put in. In my opinion, it's not necessarily about, now there are some things that I would say, you know, you do need some time to heal from. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's really about, you know, the work that you put in. And, you know, there's no need to rush the process. It's just simply about, hey, you know, I want to heal from some of these things that I went through. Great. But at the end of the day, I know people who, well, I just got divorced and I'm ready to get married. You're not ready. You're just lonely.
Right.
You don't like being alone. So, you know, let's really address some of those things that you've been challenged with and work on some of the things that you know, with that challenge your marriage, because if you don't fix it now, all it is you just change partners with the same issues.
Right. And some of the stuff from the previous situation just spills on over into the new one.
Correct.
But I've seen people, I'll ask that because I've seen people, you see some people, they get divorced and then they're like married again like 2 years later or maybe a year later. And it's like, wow, dating seems very, very hard. Like,
I would have to disagree with you.
Really?
It is. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's hard. You know, I recently just got married.
Oh, congratulations!
And thank you. And I met my wife on an online dating website. And so it's just one of those things where it's about the individual, and it's about, see, you attract what you are. And so if you keep on attracting this particular type of person, then you have to take some inventory of what type of person you are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not willing to do that work, then guess what? It's going to be a situation where you won't keep on meeting Joe the loser over and over and over.
Right. And I guess I say it's hard because I know a lot of women who are single, and I know a lot of times, you know, one of the biggest complaints is, oh, men, they don't date anymore. They don't want to take you out anymore. They want to just Netflix and chill. They want to, you know, they want to see how fast they can get in your pants. And just, you know, the whole ghosting situation, like so much of that is going on, like all of those things. And it just seems like it just makes it very hard. And I think the main thing is lack of communication. So,
well, These things are more prevalent now within our modern day society. However, the key is that once again, if you want to fish or catch a particular fish, you got to be able to go in the pond where the type of fish you want to carry or catch. So, if you are, I don't know where, you're meeting people and what type of vetting process that people are doing, but at the end of the day, here's the thing. If you meet somebody and they're not your cup of tea, then they're not your cup of tea. The challenge is we become so emotionally invested in who we want people to be. See, when you go meet a guy, you have a preconcepted notion of what you want him to be, rather than meeting a person and finding out about that person.
Right.
See, the reason why it's frustrating is because, once again, we approach people with this package mentality. We want people to be in a certain package. But if I'm just meeting people, I tell my clients, dating is just a data collection session. That's all it is. I'm collecting data. I'm finding out information. You can't be emotionally invested in somebody you're just trying to find out information from. When somebody asks you on the street, hey, what time do you have? They're not emotionally invested in you. They just want to know what time it is.
Right.
And so when you're dating, that's all you're really doing. You're finding out what time it is. And if somebody is not on your timetable, if somebody is not in your space, then guess what? God bless you. Goodbye. Have a nice day.
Right.
But because you want them to be the one, no, you can't meet every person and want them to be the one. Or you can't meet a whole bunch of people and say, oh, I want them to be the one. No, I'm just asking questions and getting information.
Right. I look at it.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I look at it like the, like just like with a company that you go interview for, it's like you're interviewing people, and just like a company, you have a vision of where you want to be in a few years, and you collect the data from this person, like you said, when when you're getting to know them, you collect the data, and you see if this person will be conducive to, you getting to where you're trying to be, and y'all basically can complement each other. And if you're a good fit for each other, and if not, you just don't hire them, just like a job. They just won't hire you.
Exactly. But some people are dating out of desperation and not discipline. And so you have to date from a standpoint of discipline and not desperation. I know you think your biological clock is ticking. I'm 41 and I ain't going to be able to have no kids. Or I'm 41 and I don't know how long. All this stuff, you worry about it. But guess what? Worrying about it is just what happens with our subconscious. On the subconscious level, what we worry about is what we attract. So if you worried about and frustrated and all that type of stuff, then all that's going to happen is you're going to attract your worry. Right. The very man that you don't want to attract is the very man that you're going to attract. Why? Because you're subconsciously sabotaging your relationships.
Yeah, so it's really a lot to think about, and I think you made some very valid points there.
Well, thank you. That's what I do.
All right, well, that is our time. I do appreciate you joining me today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the invite, and hope your listeners were able to get some value out of what we talked about today. If they want to learn more information about myself, they can go over to our website, lovelogisticscircle.com, and get all the information that they want. They can also learn about the book. The book is available on Amazon, and have an opportunity to learn some strategies to attract the love that they deserve and that they desire within our organization.
And how can they connect with you on social media?
On social media, our platform is all the same, Love Logistics Circle. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we are on YouTube, we have a YouTube channel. Once again, or if they'd like to connect with me on a personal level, they can go to DarrellFletcherSpeaks.com or follow me on Instagram at DarrellFletcherSpeaks. On social media, on Facebook, Darrell Fletcher Speaks as well.
All right, guys, that's it for today's podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to like and subscribe and follow me on social media. All right, take care. You know, man.